KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes, along with our producer, Kevin Kirsten. Kevin, how you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding.
We're just hours away from the Bulldog football home opener against Sacramento State. We've got plenty of Bulldogs analysis coming up in the show, as well as interviews with Coach Tim DeRuiter, quarterback Chasen Virgil, wide receivers Aaron Peck and Keyshawn Johnson. But first, let's talk about a couple of the other sports in action this week on campus. Volleyball and soccer going strong. Volleyball got off to its best start in about a decade, winning its first four games, and looks to have an aura of confidence right now on the team. You know, that volleyball team wasn't picked to be so high in the Mountain West by the so-called experts, but looking at the way they're playing right now, even coming off two losses to in the last weekend, it's a team that could be more competitive than people thought as they get into conference play.
It looks that way. A couple of the girls are ranked fifth and fourth in Mountain West in kills, and it seems like the team is playing, they're gelled together, and they're coming out with an aggression in the game, so the so-called experts could be wrong.
And the women's soccer team, a little bit of the opposite effect. They started the year with three straight losses against some tough competition, and now they've won two in a row against Portland State and UC Davis. So they're looking like they're getting on a little streak now. They're getting into it. It's a relatively young team, so it'll be interesting to see what they can do in the coming days and weeks.
Turning it around, two wins in a row, so they're heading in the right direction.
You know, if you haven't had a chance yet to go out and check out these two sports in particular, they've got a really nice setup going on. The volleyball, they just had their tournament at the Save Mart Center last week, but they play in the Save Mart Center. It's a unique setup. They've got a curtain over a portion of the floor. The volleyball court's set up kind of adjacent to that, and then you've got some nice comfortable seating all around it, a more intimate atmosphere than if the full Save Mart Center was open. So, you know, that'll be great, and I think that'll be the way wrestling's set up, similar to that as well. But it's
can't
really
wait for wrestling.
Yeah, it's really nice atmosphere out there, so I encourage everyone to go check that out. Soccer, the same thing. They play in the new soccer and lacrosse stadium right there in the grass lot next to Biden Field.
And it's nice.
Should say now Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium, and next to the Bulldog Football Stadium, of course. But they've got bleachers out there, the scoreboard. They've got some pretty packed crowds for a couple of their games, including the season opener this year. So it's a really nice atmosphere if you're a soccer fan.
Yeah, and don't forget that Julia Glazer was just named Mountain West Offensive Player of the Week, freshman forward. So they're doing things out there on the soccer field. So go out and check them out if you have a chance.
Most definitely. And now for that home football game, the home opener against Sac State. Fans have to be clamoring to see the new look Dogs and get that bad taste out of their mouth from last season. You know, Fresno State opened the season last weekend at Nebraska. They were in a position.
Tough game.
Yeah, tough game, of course. They were in a position, though, you know, basically throughout the first three quarters, you know, to be in a position to win that game if they executed the way they could have. Fourth quarter, things got away from them a little bit, and they, you know, ended up losing 43-10. But for you, Kevin, do you feel after watching that game, do you feel encouraged about the ceiling for this team, or is the jury still out?
I don't know. I think it might be a little too early to decide what's going to be the outcome of this team for this year, but they showed some good things. I mean, with Peck and Keyshawn having their two career nights in receptions, and, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, the running game didn't really get rolling, and, you know, it might have been first game jitters and things like that, but I don't think that the verdict is in yet on this team. I think we got good things to come for this year, and I believe we're going to see it today against Sac State, so I'm not convinced that we're in trouble yet.
I think you're exactly right. I think there were a lot of encouraging signs you could take from that game, even though it did get away at the end. But coming off a season like last season, you know, typically you'd be like, hey, we lost 43-10. What's going on here? It'd be kind of an alarming score for an opening game at a Nebraska team where, you know, big name team over the years, one of the most successful teams in college football history. But you know, we don't really know yet how good that team's going to be this year. They look like they have some issues to work out as well. But on the Fresno State side, I think you have to look at a redshirt freshman quarterback, Chasen Virgil, the way he threw the ball, the way he sort of commanded that offense and stayed poised even against some blitz packages from Nebraska. He was delivering the ball downfield on some key downs, which I think is really important to consider that, you know, there were some third downs there, some third and longs where they really needed to convert to keep the drive going and keep you know, the offense on the field and the defense, let the defense get a little bit of a rest. And Virgil was really making some of those plays that we didn't see a lot of last year, especially in that first half.
Yeah, he was showing poise in the pocket. He was showing that he could throw under pressure, like you said, and fit it into tight pockets when needed in pressure situations. And his receivers were there for the most part. I mean, there was a couple drops, but it wasn't happening so often that he would lose confidence in him, you know, over the course of the year. So Chasen's going to be fine. He might need to maybe use his feet a little bit more. You know, maybe he was a little bit hesitant because of first game and just figuring himself out as the helm of this team. But I think Chasen's going to be fine.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that off the air, how Chasen Virgil, he's got the ability to run if a play breaks down. You know, it's not his first preference, but it's something he can do. It's something he can do well. He's got speed. And you look at the way the Bulldogs running game couldn't get going. I think they averaged less than 2 yards a carry on the day, 31 yards rushing. Really not going to cut it
never
going forward in the season. And when you have a quarterback who can run, to me, I look at that and say, hey, maybe we'd like to see just a little bit more of that sprinkled in, hopefully open up the field a little bit, make Nebraska's defense keep a guy who's spying the quarterback and sort of take him away from the edge or away from blitzing or do some different things there. And maybe it opens up the passing game downfield as well, even though they did pretty well in the passing game.
For sure. You got that guy that has to stay there and spy the quarterback behind the line. Then, yeah, it doesn't give him a chance to run up the gap unblocked in the line in the Chasen's face. And then, and it also makes them think in the back of their minds, even the DBs, if they see him out of the corner eye, get outside the pocket, or he's like on the move, it's always going to be in the back of your mind or out of the corner of your eye. You're going to be wondering if he's going to take off or not, you know? So it's just another factor to add in and another thing for defenses to worry about. So yeah, if he gets on the move a little bit more, especially when our running game is hurting, hopefully we could fix that. But you know, if not, we have a running game essentially in him, you know, if we need to every once in a while. So yeah, he just needs to keep that in the back of his mind.
Yeah. And I think one of the other encouraging things fans can take away, Virgil had some help from those wide receivers out there. He had a few guys with Aaron Peck, Keyshawn Johnson, Jameer Jordan. They were picking up first downs when they needed to, you know, they were getting a few extra yards to get to that first down marker. Aaron Peck in particular, he had the touchdown catch was just amazing. Man, where he jumped up over that defender, ripped the ball away. And you could see Aaron Peck's demeanor. He was pretty fired up after that play, the way he reacted. And he also had that great catch on the sideline comes to mind right away. And then the one where he went down on the turf, the ball was thrown a little bit low, and he went down and got it in traffic to pick up a huge first down on that play. So, you know, I think when the wide receivers are making plays like that, that's something we didn't see a lot of last year. And that's something that could really help get this team going back in the right direction.
The dependability of the receivers seemed like it was there. So it's, I think it's going to help in the long run for the rest of the season. You know, the more trust that Chasen has in the receivers, the better it's going to click. And the more willing he'll be to fire that ball into that spot or throw it up for a jump ball for Peck, I think it'll get better as time goes on.
One thing we've got to address a little bit today, you know, the late punter, Sam Fultz, he passed away in the car accident in July. And such a nice tribute to see from the Nebraska team at the start of that game where they lined up in the missing man formation. They had, you know, 10 guys lined up, no one back at punter in that punt formation. And it was just, I think, a great gesture to see the Bulldogs players. They realized what was going on. They stood up and started clapping. 90,000 people in the stadium were clapping. And I think it was just a really special thing, you know, hopefully for his family as well as for his former teammates and coaches.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I was watching the game. I just got the chills because you were talking about it. And I remember while they were giving the tribute, they were showing all the fans in the stands, and then they had the banners up and everything with his number. And DeRuiter's class act move of declining the penalty, it just shows that sport is going to take second to the stuff that really matters. But it was a touching moment.
They lined up in that formation and they actually just let the clock run down, took a delay of game penalty. And then, as you mentioned, Kevin, Coach DeRuiter declined the penalty. You know, you don't want to capitalize off a situation like that. But the Nebraska fans, they went on Fresno State's Facebook page, just literally thousands of comments about how impressed they were by that gesture. So it was a nice feel good moment, I think, to kind of put sport into perspective and show that, you know, even when you're competing against each other, you can show great sportsmanship. And that's kind of what college athletics is all about and should be all about.
I agree.
Getting back to the game, you know, we talked about Fresno State couldn't generate much of a run game. At the same time, I think it's got to be a little bit concerning Granted, Nebraska has big, physical, strong athletes, but their offensive line up front was really pushing back the Bulldogs' defense, and they were getting chunks of yardage, you know, averaging 5-6 yards a run. That's something I think the Bulldogs are going to want to come out and address against Sac State today.
That's what I was wondering myself. It was the first game of the year. Everyone's hyped up. Everyone has energy. But it was the physicality of that offensive line why they scored mostly toward the end of the game, because they just wore down the Bulldogs. It was too much, pounding and pounding every play. I think it's definitely going to have to be addressed about not so much the toughness, just what are we going to do to adapt to a situation like that if it happens again, if we're getting overpowered like that. I believe it was just a matter of time before they, as you saw in the fourth quarter, it was kind of like a wear down on the team.
We've heard a lot from new offense coordinator Eric Kiesaw that he wants to establish more of a running game this season for the Bulldogs. He wants it to be more physical. He wants to be in a position where if you're in a goal line situation or you're in a third and one, third and two, you can line up and push straight ahead and get that first down. Against Nebraska, the Bulldogs did that a couple times when they were in third and short and they weren't successful. So, you know, if I'm going to make a prediction for tonight, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulldogs really try to establish that ground game early and sort of establish a physical presence up front on the offensive line.
It breaks your spirit. It could go either way. It can shift the momentum of a game either way. If you have them close, third and two, and the defense stops you, then all of a sudden you can't convert, and now your spirit's starting to get broken. But if you're on the offensive side of the ball and you're Fresno State like tonight, and they push a couple third and twos down their throat and just show them that you're not going to be able to stop us if we need these 2 yards, that goes a long way in shifting momentum and keeping the momentum of the game going in your favor.
Yeah, and it should be, you know, a bit of a different situation tonight. We mentioned the size and athleticism of Nebraska up front. Sac State, they're not quite going to have that. They're an FCS program. They're a bit down right now. FCS, of course, what was formerly known as Division I AA. And even in their division, the Big Sky, they were predicted preseason to finish 13th out of 13 teams.
Oh my.
They had a tough weekend last weekend, losing to Division II Western Oregon. So I don't think, you know, this will be quite as big a challenge for
the Bulldogs. But it's going to be uplifting for us, hopefully.
Hopefully, but, you know, at the same time, it's one of those situations you always look at as a potential trap game where you don't want guys getting complacent. You don't want them thinking they're going to just show up and win the ball game. And I think for the Bulldogs, especially coming off as tough as last year was, coming off a loss at Nebraska last week, they really need to go out there not only for the fans and to get the W, but to build confidence in themselves that they can go out and really control a game and dominate from start to finish. And I think that's what the benchmark should be for this one.
I think it's important that you said to not get trapped in this game and just assume that you're going to win just because of the circumstances. You also want to be careful and not let yourself as a team have the mentality of, well, we're in Nebraska and the team was much more physical and, you know, we weren't really picked to win that game, so it's okay. They're never going to think it's okay to lose, but sometimes you can get in your mind, well, you know, that's not such a bad loss, things like that, and we're going to come in and we're just going to take care of business on this team that should be inferior. But yeah, you don't want to get caught up in stats. A team could show up any night 100% or 110% and really give you the business and make it difficult for you. So they need to just stay on top of their game and stick to what the coaches are telling them and stick to the formula and play as hard as they can and just get this W.
Especially when you're Sacramento State, you know, just a few hours up the road, knowing that Fresno State between Sacramento and Bakersfield is literally the only FBS football program, Division 1A football program. That's a large area of a large state to only have that one program. And that's what we talk about when we hear people like Pat Hill saying, let's paint the valley red, or we hear, you know, about how the Central Valley is really the hotbed for Fresno State and the fan base should be that whole corridor down the 99. And for Sacramento State, they're probably looking at this game. They've probably had it circled for a while as a chance to prove themselves against a higher level of competition.
Like you said, claim the area. It's a border game, you know, who's going to control the Central Valley. Yeah, they're going to bring their best. There's no doubt about it. So that's why we got to stay on top of our A game and play all the way to the triple zeros and make sure we come away with a win.
And I think it's going to be an exciting one for fans. The tailgating lots open at 3:00. The game starts at 7 p.m. No television, so make sure you get out there.
I'll be there at 3:05.
Yeah, 3:05, there you go. Why are you going to be so late, though? That's my only question.
I'll be there as soon as I can. I can't wait.
Any food plans for you pregame?
I'm a hot dog hamburger guy. I mean, I'm not really complicated. Just throw some ketchup on there. I don't need all the relish and everything, but what about you?
Our family's, you know, responsible for hosting this first tailgate. We always split them up preseason. Different family hosts each game, so this one's ours. I think we're going to go out and get some tri-tip, make some tri-tip sandwiches, maybe some pilaf, so stop on by if you're in the area.
I'm looking for your canopy.
There you go. So, you know, with that, we'll bring you this first interview with Coach Tim DeRuiter and hear what he has to say about the game coming up.
I'm here with Coach Tim DeRuiter. Coach, going into this week after the game with Nebraska, was there anything that you were keying on, and how was the progress made through the week, if there was?
Well, you know, obviously we didn't run the ball very well on Saturday. That's something that we've worked on all week. We've got to do a much better job of being balanced. Being able to watch that film was invaluable for our guys to see where our aiming points were for our offensive line and our backs. We got to get things cleaned up. We just got to block better. The other thing on defense, we've got to be able to force outside runs better. We didn't do a very good job of that on last Saturday. Again, having that film, seeing where their eyes should be, seeing where they're supposed to fit, you know, all those things you learn from. And that's why most good teams, you know, make their most improvement from week one to two, because you finally have another opponent to go against, and it's not just beating yourselves up.
When Chasen got knocked out of the game for a little bit, how important was that, and how did that build the coaching confidence when Zach Klein could step in and make some good throws and march him down the field? It didn't result in a touchdown, but a field goal. But how important was that for the coaching staff?
Well, it was huge for confidence, not just for the coaching staff, but I think for his teammates. You know, Zach just got here this summer. He's got a pretty good command of the offense for a guy who's just been here, you know, a month and a half, 2 months. And for him to go in there in that type of situation, you know, not knowing when, he's got to go in right at the end of the half against a really good defense and move our offense, I think, spoke really well about his preparation. You know, Coach Keesaw getting those guys ready to go. And the fact that when Chasen went down, he picked up the flag and was next guy up and let's go. When you have that kind of situation where someone's going to get banged up in football, but the next guy comes in and just doesn't skip a beat, it helps coaches, obviously, but the entire team's confidence.
As far as Chasen's concerned, it seemed like he had a little reluctancy to use his feet in the Nebraska game to get a couple yards or pick up maybe a crucial third down. Was that also brought up to him by the coaches this week about using his feet as a weapon more?
Well, you know, we always encourage him that, particularly on third down, if something's not there and he sees it, to feel free to go. Those are decisions, but I thought he hung in the pocket and made some really good throws on third down. You know, there was a couple read plays in the running game that we talked to him about that maybe he could have pulled the ball to help us out, to help the whole running game. Because when you do that, now they've got to honor, you know, the quarterback run. He ends up being an extra blocker because they've got to count for him.
Sacramento State team coming in here that on paper seems to be inferior. Could this be not only a motivational thing for the team, but could this also be classified as a quote-unquote trap game? You know, how do you keep the team's focus coming into this game against Sac State?
Well, our message since we got back on Sunday was it doesn't matter who we play this week. I told our team, I don't care if we play the New England Patriots. It's not about who we play. It's about what we do to improve from last Saturday night. And our guys have been focused this week at practice. You know, we've got to correct a lot of things that doesn't matter who the opponent is, we've got to correct. We do that, we'll take care of business.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
All right, no problem.
That was Fresno State coach Tim DeRuiter. Kevin, our producer, got out to practice this week and caught up with several players as well to get their thoughts on tonight's game. And now we'll bring you Kevin's interview with quarterback Chasen Virgil, the redshirt freshman who had a good showing in that season opener.
We're here with Chasen Virgil. Chasen, how about that game? Give us a little insight.
It wasn't the game that we wanted to have offensively. You know, we was in the game up until, I think, when the fourth quarter started. And, you know, we had our chances to win the game and keep ourselves in the game and give ourselves a shot at the end. Offensively, we just didn't execute. You know, I missed some reads. You know, we had dropped balls. I think our O-line did a real good job of giving us the protection that we needed to complete those balls and things like that. And, you know, we just got to work on a run game. But, you know, it's all over with now. We all moved ahead from it. And now we're just focused on Sac State.
What happened on the play that you got hurt? Can you take us through that? Was there an uh-oh moment in your head, like, oh, no, not again? You know, how did it feel? Do you think it was real bad, or do you know, oh, it was just a nice shot?
It was just a nice shot by number 12, you know. Just throwing the ball away, kind of shoved me, and I really don't even think it was a targeting call, but just kind of shoved me, and I just kind of landed on it wrong, just banged it up a little bit, but, you know, just lost feeling that it just moved it around a little bit. You know, it felt good, went in there, did evaluations with the trainers at halftime, and, you know, I was ready to go for the second half.
Have you ever hurt that shoulder before, or was that the first time?
Really just the first time hurting it in a game, just a little freakish injury, but it's nothing.
Now, as far as the running game, it was struggling a little bit that game. Do you feel like that was part of the reason why that there wasn't a deep threat? Or do you think with the running game more, you could have had a little bit more versatility to maybe run the field or be able to hit more receivers or go a little longer?
Definitely. You know, if we were able to run the ball a little bit more, they obviously got to bring guys up and we're able to take our deep shots down the field. But You know, we just wasn't able to run the ball. They had a nice D-line, nice front seven, and it's probably going to be one of the hardest front sevens we play against all year. And so, you know, it was just kind of hard running the ball, and I think it did kind of affect some of the play calling, being able to take our deep shots. But, you know, we still was able to put drives together, and, you know, Coach Keys did call great plays. We just had to execute them.
Was that a typical game for how you want to play, based out of the pocket and looking downfield instead of using your feet?
You know, just whatever it takes to win. I do feel like from watching the game, obviously I feel like I could have, you know, helped the run game a little bit more just by taking off and running a little bit and even sustained drives, using my feet on a couple of third downs and things like that. So I definitely have to get better in that aspect, you know, just help our team out. But, you know, I do want to be able to throw the ball and get the ball into our guys' hands, but I do have to use my feet a little bit more just to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, do you think DeJounte O'Neal could be used more in the slot or catching pass out of the backfield?
Definitely. I mean, you know, Tay's a great player. It'll be hard to scheme against him. He can do so many things for us offensively, you know, whether it's in the backfield, whether he lines up at slot and things like that. So, you know, I think Coach Keys has things going for him. He knows what Tay can do for us, and, you know, he's probably thinking things up. And so we'll see how it goes when the season plays out.
Now, you went to Chad Olsen twice right in the beginning, back-to-back, and then after that it seemed to kind of fade off. Was that just what the defense was giving you, or did you need the tight ends to stay in more and help blocking?
Oh, well, on those plays, you know, the defense was just giving us the tight ends on those plays. But I think later on in the game, we kept them in and we just had them block a little bit. You know, they had sacked us a couple of times on blitzes, so, you know, we just wanted to keep him in and, you know, have him block a little bit for us, and we just ran three receiver routes. You know, even with that, we were still doing good. I think coming into this game, you know, you'll probably see a little bit more of Chad, but we'll just have to keep game planning and see how sack state is.
Speaking of the game today, how you feel going into it? You going to be excited for home opener, Bulldog fans everywhere? How you feeling?
I feel good going into the game. I think the last time Bulldog fans seen me, you know, I didn't play exceptionally well against Utah, and I got hurt, and so, you know, I definitely want to come out here and, you know, send a message to those guys and show them that, you know, we are a different team than last year. And I think we showed glimpses of that last week, but now we just got to put it all together.
That was Fresno State quarterback Chasen Virgil talking about last week's game as well as the one coming up tonight. And Kevin also caught up with sophomore wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, who had his career best for receptions last week at Nebraska. And he's hoping for a repeat performance tonight.
All right, I'm here with Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn, pretty exciting game the other night. One of your best games that you had. It is your best game that you had. So how do you feel coming off that game, although it wasn't the outcome you wanted? How do you think you did in that game?
I feel like I just came out and just I played how we prepared all week. And I'm just looking forward to tonight and going out and showing the crowd what I can do every game and I'm ready to play.
What do you feel is some of your strengths and some of your weaknesses? Let us find out a little bit about your game.
Strength-wise, I see my route running and catching ability as something that's definitely a strength in my book, I feel. And some of my weaknesses right now is, you know, just working on my blocking on the perimeter, and that's what I'm going to keep working on every day in practice and get better at it.
So do you feel like the most thing you need to improve on is your blocking down the field?
Yeah, you know, there's always room for corrections, and I feel like that's one of my main things that I need to work on. So I've just been working on that and focusing on that during practice, and hopefully it just translates to the game.
What do you feel that you bring to this wide receiver core that the other receivers might not bring?
I feel like it's a all-around thing for us, but one thing for me that I love to bring out is just the energy and just the effort and just play. Just have everybody come out and just play.
Is there a difference between a Chasen Virgil pass and a Zach Klein pass? I heard there might be a little bit more zip on a Klein pass, maybe.
There's not that difference, but you can see that Zach Klein, he just comes out and he's more of a bigger guy, so his ball comes a little faster than Chasen's, but both of them make the great throws, and they're both good quarterbacks.
Yeah, how do you feel? Chasen was putting the ball in a couple of tight pockets in the game last week, and what do you think is going to take you guys to get a deep ball going in this passing game? Because there wasn't much of it in the game last week, so what do you think it's going to take the running game to open up to get a little bit more deep ball going downfield?
The run game opening up, that would definitely help our wide outs and us to get a better chance to throw down the field because they wouldn't just key in on the pass. So that definitely will help getting the run game to open up a little more.
Another top performance today coming up at Sac State for you?
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for the game. I'm going to go out there and show you guys what I can do.
We going to get a TD out of you?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan. That's the plan.
That was Bulldogs wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Another Bulldog wide receiver, Aaron Peck, was out at practice this week. Kevin caught up with him to talk all about his leadership as well as his personal best for receptions that he had at Nebraska, went over 100 yards and made several great catches, including the Bulldogs' only touchdown of the game.
We're here with Aaron Peck. Aaron, man, it was a big game the other night. Your career performance. Give yourself a grade for that game.
I play pretty decent. I mean, there's definitely things I could have done better to help my team out, but just speaking on the standpoint from me and the receivers, I feel like we had a pretty good game.
Was that the breakout game you've been waiting to post for these past couple years?
It's definitely a game that's been just been waiting for me to really have that big game, playing to my potential.
Describe the atmosphere of that game. You know, it was kind of an emotional atmosphere with the passing of their punter, Sam Foltz. And just describe what it was like to be in that atmosphere with that many people and the emotions that were running that night.
Yeah, man, it was crazy. You know, as soon as we got in the stadium, they had a big Sam Foltz poster in their student section. So you knew that it'd be a really emotional night. I'm sure the crowd was full to capacity, 90,000+. I mean, like I said, they did a lot of things for the punter. I mean, it's great stuff out there. They really love each other. You can tell they love football and each other. So, I mean, just being out there and being able to play in that stadium, I think, is very fun.
All right, now you had the first touchdown pass for the Bulldogs this year. It was quite an emotional one. I saw you rip the ball away. Your helmet comes off. You get up off the ground all fast. Yeah. Just take us a little bit of what was going through your mind right then at that point.
It was just an emotional game for me. I haven't played since 2014, so just making that play, you know, helmet on or off, I would have been, you know, going crazy. But just for me, I feel like it was the realization of, hey, like, I'm back playing football. I'm back. I'm here. And this is what I can do for our team.
Good feeling, right?
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
Now, is that going to set the tone for you as far as being a leader for this team and for this wide receiving core this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I always seen myself as a leader, you know, coming in to this year. I mean, a fifth-year guy. I've been around for, you know, the Derek Carr days and all that stuff. So I see myself as a leader anyway, but just showing the guys that, hey, I'll come out and I'll make plays for you guys and I'll support you guys and, you know, I'm here to win. I think that showed my fellow teammates that, you know, this guy's the real deal and we can follow him and, you know, he'll look out for us.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson also had a career night. How do you feel that's going to be, you know, you and him as a tandem, you know, going on throughout the rest of the season?
I mean, I didn't even know he had a career night. That's dope. I feel great. You know, I feel like we have one of the best receiving cores in the whole Mountain West and in the country, you know. We got guys on the outside that can make plays, so our coaches can definitely lean on us to be able to make those plays when we need them.
How do you anticipate the offensive scheme being different today for Sac State? What do you think is going to be different about it?
You know, I don't think too much is going to be different. You know, we just have to execute. We have our base stuff in, you know, the stuff that we've been practicing all camp. I'm sure there's a few changes that Coach Keys will make, but for the most part, we'll come out for the game and, you know, we'll just execute what we do.
But how important is it to establish a run game for you guys to be able to really get going in a game?
It's definitely important, you know. We need the guys inside to really, like, get going. And I'm sure our O-line and our running backs have been working really hard for that, you know. And once they get that developed, it'll be a lot easier for us on the outside to, you know, make plays because defenses have to respect our run game more.
Do you feel like you guys as receivers play an important role in that run game, you know, making sure you're blocking downfield?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The blocks downfield are the blocks that really spring, you know, the long touchdown runs. And Coach Toler and Coach Keys have made it a real point that we need to work on our downfield blocking to get these guys going.
One or two touchdowns this week?
Nah, not answering that one. Just hopefully come out, have a great game. You know, whoever scores, I'll be in the end zone celebrating with them.
That was Fresno State wide receiver Aaron Peck. Thanks again to our guests, Fresno State coach Tim DeRuiter, wide receivers Keyshawn Johnson and Aaron Peck, and quarterback Chasen Virgil. And thanks to our producer Kevin Kirsten for going out and getting all those interviews, putting the feet on the ground, so to speak. Our co-host, Fresno State Director of Athletics Jim Barco, will be back with us on an upcoming show. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Saturday at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSR Sports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.